How do you know angels are real?
The first real indication, the first real experience that I had as a viewer was looking at we were doing some work for the FBI as a military team on the Lockerbie explosion. Remember,
oh, yes.
The terrorists blew the plane up. And our task was to determine what device, if any, blew the plane up, right? It turned out
right.
to be a Semtex explosive that was packed
right.
into a boom box that was placed aboard the plane. But in doing that, we actually had the experience at the time, the explosion and all the people dying, being thrown up against the bulkhead and things like that. And viewers were describing all these lights and these other things, intelligences, in the plane itself, just prior to people being burned alive, you know, in the air. And we said, what the heck is this? And it turned out to be entities. So I did some research on the entities using the military team, again, your tax dollars at work. And it turned out that the description of these things were everything the church fathers had described. St. Jerome, St. Thomas Aquinas, and all the rest had described if these particular things, while if it looked like a duck and it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, is an angel type of thing. All the descriptions that the church fathers had of angels matched what popped up into the cabin just prior to everybody being, you know, burned alive and vaporized.
Okay, so these entities were there, and they were entities that had never been in human form.
Correct, correct. And we had no experience with them as individuals, but when you read what the church fathers say about angels, it matched that, so we just started calling them angels.
Okay, but how could you differentiate, an entity, an extraterrestrial?
Because we began, well, you know, let me put that on hold for just for a moment. All I'm saying is the way the church fathers described angels. Lots of research, not just the church fathers, but the Arabs. They described them to the Elohim and all that, and in Hebrew, Arabic, and all these other literatures. The way they described what they called angels, were matched the descriptions of what we had here too. Now, in terms of aliens or extraterrestrials, I think that the Federation, a la Star Trek type of Federation, is actually made up of both material beings and created beings. And I think there's entities and intelligences out there that are really almost beyond our comprehension. And so I don't know what to call them en masse.
All right. Well, you had a project called Starman, remember?
Oh, I still do. Very, very much alive.
Very much alive.
Mm-hmm.
And with Starman, you expect to initiate contact, yes?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, with the Vanguard, because we know that after the stuff clears, after Earth becomes very barren and the stuff, that the air clears, so to speak, there is another race here on Earth that helps us rebuild and regenerate the ozone layer. We're using generators, actual generators. We've sketched them. In fact, we even turned this over to Lawrence Rockefeller privately.
Oh, you did?
Yes, we did. And that's the race that we know is out there watching us. These are physical beings, humanoid in nature, with real, solid devices, not what angels
right.
have, that kind
right.
of thing. So,
well, if regeneration of the ionosphere is possible, and you actually have sketches of machines that could accomplish this, why not begin now?
We are. I want contact with this race, but all of our work suggests that they will not be here until after all this stuff happens. All of our work suggests that there can be a Vanguard contact. In other words, like a tactical command post to just establish, to communicate with them, but they're not going to stop what happens. They're not going to intervene as much as I would like them to.
Do you have any knowledge of why they're interested in us, what their motivations are? They can't be that good if they're not going to intervene, if they see this catastrophic event ahead.
I have two guesses. It's just surmise. Number one is the prime directive idea, where you have to allow things to run their course, because otherwise everything's cross level. You intervene and they land on the White House lawn. The first thing we do is ask them to help us with our deforestation problem, our AIDS problem, and this. And if they don't help us, then they must be our enemy. That's number one. Number two is, again, surmise. I think in terms of a galaxy or a collection of or a constellation, you're only as strong as your weakest link. I remember as a young infantryman, if somebody on the squad was just kind of stupid, you had to stay online as you attack a target, because the stupid guy will shoot you in the back because he's too slow. So you had to move, at his speed, and unless you kicked him in the derriere and sped him up. Well, in terms of moving forward in evolution, material beings may need to wait for the more primitive races to reach some type of a threshold in terms of the evolution for the higher races to be able to move forward too. That's a guess I have.
Have you ever had an impression, Ed, of whether they're friend or foe? In other words, they're keeping hands off, perhaps for the reasons you just articulated, but beyond that, are they? Would you consider them to be concerned with us as a friend would be concerned?
No, as more like a UN assistance project. They're very, very. It's very, very similar to that. When we look ahead at what they're doing, it looks very much like a UN a support project to a third world or undeveloped nation. It's like that, sort of somewhere between mentorship and altruism. If you want to call out a friend, I guess. You could, but that's not quite how I define a friend.